In most of the talks I have given you, I have spoken of local history or events, or about local personalities who have left a mark on Eastbourne history. Just occasionally I've mentioned myself, simply on a point of personal recollection. Though not likely to leave an imprint on local history, I have reached a time in life when I might claim a possible record, particularly in this modern age. My claim for inclusion in the Guinness Book of Records is that I have lived for over 70 years in one road in this town. It is a nice road and I like the name, Vicarage Road. It is in fact a very old highway, originally known as Love Lane. Roads in villages and small towns of old did not have actual street names, except perhaps High Street and Church Street, but these did not appear on the nameplate. However, the name of Love Lane is referred to in a pleasant Eastbourne guidebook written in 1863. There were no houses in Love Lane, only farm buildings, until Canon Pitman built his new vicarage in the top part in the early half of the last century. Then that part of the highway became known as Vicarage Lane, and later Vicarage Road. I came, or was brought to live in the road, in 1908, at the age of 4 months, having first seen the light of day in West Terrace, near the railway station, and baptised at the Church of St Saviour. My first mental recording of history, no doubt picked up from conversation between my parents, was the sinking of the Titanic. Then followed the outbreak of the First World War, by which time I was 6 years of age. I remember the events of August 1914, as on Sunday, August the 3rd, in the morning, I accompanied my father to Terminus Road, at the corner of Gilridge Road, to watch the arrival by train of the London Brigade of Volunteers and see them march off to Whitbread Hollow for the annual camp. In the early evening of the same Sunday, my father took me again to Terminus Road to watch the brigade return to the station as the war clouds had gathered. There is a perpetual joke associated with the beginning of that long and weary war, in that people were alleged to have said in the autumn of 1914, "It will be all over by Christmas." I distinctly remember my father making this profound observation to my mother. My next lasting impression were the billeting of soldiers and the building of Summerdown Camp. The first troops billeted in Old Town were of the Shropshire Regiment, and they came into the town one Monday morning in a deplorable state, the tented camps they had occupied at Seaford having become impossible through rain and mud. They used to drill in the adjoining roads and seemed to spend a lot of time forming fours and forming two deep. Eventually, having finished training, they left the town and I, with many others, accompanied them to the railway station. I believe that unit suffered appalling casualties in Flanders. Next, it was the Royal Army Medical Corps who, having enjoyed the comforts of the new Summerdown camp, were turned out into billets, then to tents in Whitbread Hollow before moving to France. After them, we had two officers, both doctors. I remember being very interested in their swords. With the settling down of Summerdown camp as a convalescent hospital, there was billeted upon us the commandant of the Women's Army Auxiliary Corps, who did the catering at the camp, the cooks. This lady, Miss Findlay, and I say lady as the officers of this corps were of the same breed as those who formed the WVS in the later war. She went as second in command of the first contingent of the WACs sent to France. We had her replacement, a lady from Gala Shields. They all came from Scotland, until late in the war. Miss Grace Ray Brown received a decoration while she was with us. To me, Vicarage Road and Summerdown Camp were virtually contiguous, just Vicarage Drive in between. I spent many happy hours in and around the camp. It had a delightful setting and was splendidly laid out. The buildings were well set back from Summerdown Road, providing an open area for sports, recreation and exercising. The centrepiece, overlooking the grounds, was a gymnasium cum theatre, with a clock tower set above roof centre. By degrees, the Blue Boys planted gardens around every hut and building and painted splendid murals on the fronts of the huts. A delightful tea garden was laid out for visiting relatives and friends. And in the vicinity of the guard room, administrative offices and officers' quarters, the gardens included peafowl and other interesting pets. The camp had a splendid band, which also provided the orchestra for the theatrical productions, both in the camp and the Pier Theatre. The band comprised professional musicians, some of whom later played in Captain Aymer's Municipal Orchestra and Military Band. The bandmaster was J.W. McConnell, and he wrote the camp march, which was always played as the Blue Boys entered the camp from a march or church service at St. Mary's. The main camp road today is Old Camp Road. I well remember the tune, and I'm quite sure the composer set it to a theme of Ward Higgs' Sussex by the Sea, which at that time was quite a new march. The commandant of the camp was Colonel J.S. Bostock, Royal Army Medical Corps. He did not live at the camp when off duty, but at the Grand Hotel. His car, chauffeur-driven, used to pass me in Saffron's Road as I was making my way to St. Saviour's Choir School in South Street. King George V with Queen Mary visited the camp, and of course I witnessed the occasion. I also saw a demonstration by one of the earliest tanks, a number of obstacles having been erected to show the mobile ability of this new weapon of war. The camp made quite a contribution to the social life of Eastbourne during those seemingly long years of war, with their fine theatrical performances in the theatre, with beautifully produced pantomime, reviews, and on Sunday evenings always at the concert party by the Blue Boys, who styled themselves the Nuts Camp Comedy Company, each word with the capital letter K. The shows naturally included men with theatrical experience who were passing through convalescence or on the regular staff. I'm glad I live near Summerdown Camp. I have a great affection for that particular part of Eastbourne. I first remember the land when I was taken to the Sussex County Agriculture Show in 1914, just before the outbreak of war. The real name of the land is Mockcombe Lane, the word lane being spelled L-A-I-N-E, which means open arable land at the foot of the downs. Later in time, I had an allotment for 22 years at Summerdown and kept my tools in the last remaining camp hut, retained for that purpose by the Compton Estate. The land is now built over, but I was able to provide the street name where my allotment stood. It is Four Down Close.